Blog Talk Radio.
WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon-coming king awaits.
This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. The Clarion Call. This show is here to expose the enemy for what he has done in our churches and in our nation. Over the past 20 years, the devil has crept in, but this show will expose the devil and what he's doing in our churches and in our nation. Be alert, bride. Be sober. He is coming back after a bride without spot or wrinkle. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It is with the principalities and the powers of the air. And we are taking our position in the army of the living God. Rise up, bride. This is your hour. Charge!
Truth out there across this country in Jesus' mighty name. Listen, tonight we have a guest. His name is Dean Odell, Dr. Dean Odell. We're having a little bit of technical problems on Facebook. He's trying to sign back in. But while he's doing that, bride, I'm going to talk to you about who we are going to be listening to tonight. Now, Dr. Dean, if you can hear me, you can also call in at 929-477-1994. Okay, Dr. Dean Odell grew up in Auburn, Alabama area. After being saved at age 11 and falling away, he returned to the Lord in June of 1987. Since then, Dean has served as a youth pastor, singles minister, senior pastor, church planner, teacher, evangelist, and prophetic minister. He has authored three books: Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. Wow, that would be an interesting topic, wouldn't it? The Polluted Church, From Rome to Kansas City, and The Holy Spirit, Tongues of Fire. Dean Odell is ordained by Eagle Wings Incorporated, the International Ministry of Eugene May, and received an honorary PhD from Pilgrims University in 2002. He is currently the founder and the senior pastor of Fire and Grace Church in Opelika, Alabama, and the host of Prophecy Quake. Now listen, Brad, while he is trying to get signed in, I want to tell you a little bit. Hey, here he is.
That.
Here you are, Dr. Dean. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, this is just as good. At least everybody got to see your face on Facebook Live. I just read your bio, and I would like for you to tell the bride a little bit about yourself so that they can get to know you a little bit. You said you're down in Alabama, right?
Yes, we are in Opelika. Our church is in Opelika, Alabama. Kind of a twin cities with Auburn. Opelika is the home of Auburn University, so we're right on the Alabama-Georgia state line, kind of mid-Alabama, middle there. This is where I grew up, but the Lord, of course, took me in different directions. I lived in Montgomery, which is the capital of Alabama, for quite a few years, but I've lived in Arkansas and Texas, and of course, before I came here, I was a pastor in a church in Washington, D.C., and then the Lord sent me back to my hometown in 2009.
That is awesome, Pastor. Now, listen, we only have an hour together, and I want to pull off of your wisdom, so I have a lot of questions, and also people out there, they can in about 45 minutes at 929-477-1994. Okay, listen, Pastor. You are a pastor of a church, okay? And then you're preaching about the ecumenical movement. How in the world did you find out about it? Because most pastors are not even talking about this.
Well, I'll be honest, it goes all the way back to 1987 when I rededicated my life to the Lord after, you know, I fell away from God in my teenage years. I came back to the Lord in 1987, and shortly thereafter, I got a hold of a bunch of Jack Chick books and tracts, and so I think the Lord prepared me very early on to be aware of how the Roman Catholic Church was trying to infiltrate and bring all the churches together into this one world religion. And so it goes way back for me. And in fact, I remember, you know, of course, reading Leonard Ravenhill's classic book, Why Revival Tarries. And, of course, he said in that book, he wrote in 1959, about the Roman Catholic Church, that is the greatest forgery that Lucifer ever made. So it was very early on. Of course, Keith Green, I used to love to listen to Keith Green. You know, he was a powerful singer, songwriter, musician that gave his life to the Lord, really became a prophet. And he died in 82, but he did an in-depth teaching on it in his Last Days magazine that was, at that time it was around the world, one of the largest Christian magazines in the world, and he did a expose called the Catholic Chronicles that exposed it. So there's been a lot of ministers, there's been a few ministers over the years that's remained faithful to explaining that there's a, you know, there's the true Church of Jesus Christ, and then there's the counterfeits, and how that in the end the devil was going to try to blur the lines and water down the message and get us to forsake, you know, foundational doctrines of Christianity to come together in a one world religion that kind of accepts everything. So
that is exactly what's happening right now. And Pastor, I must admit that I just found out about this. I just found out about it in November, when I started researching for the book I'm writing. And I've just been, in my heart, I just want to tell you a little bit about me. I've been interviewing ministers for the past 5 years, and I've interviewed over 300 of them.
And I've interviewed people all over the country. The Lord has sent me on 3 or 4 national tours, and I've interviewed ministers, and I've been heavily involved in the prophetic movement, you know, in the charismatic church and the Pentecostal side as well. So I've interviewed all spectrums, right? And then when I was searching for this book after I traveled the nation last year and saw the sickness that's in the church, I was asking, Lord, what is this sickness that I'm seeing? You know, because I started doing this show, the Clarion Call, I started showing the bride, this is what I'm seeing. All these terrible things are happening, but I don't know what this is. So I was researching it and discovered it's actually the ecumenical movement that is causing the church in the country to be so sick. And then I had a moment in December where I was wanting to quit everything, like, oh my God. I mean, this thing is so bad and it is so big that I don't think the people out there understand just how sick and big this thing really is. And it's like so many people that I love and know are in this thing. And I don't even think they know what it is. Do you understand what
I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm a Pentecostal charismatic minister. I have been since I gave my life back to the Lord, and he called me to the ministry in 87. And I've been spirit-filled. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, the gifts of prophecy,
yes,
healing, all of that, and have operated in the gifts of the Spirit and been involved in I used to minister and fellowship and be involved in a lot of Assembly of God churches and then a lot of independent, non-denominational charismatic churches. I've been around some of the big names in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement. And I began to see, you know, this stuff creeping in, again, to people that I really loved and respected. And it's horrifying. I mean, it's just horrifying as to really how bad it's become, that this, I know that this, again, this just whole watering down of the Word of God and mixing in not just the Roman Catholicism, but mixing in the contemplative mysticism of Buddhism and Hinduism and trying to Christianize these things. And
That's right.
And there's ministries out there, and that's why I wrote The Lord Made Me, and I have to say it that way because I really didn't want to write the book, and then I didn't really have a lot of time to write it, but the Lord just kept on and making it clear that he wanted me to write The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City, and I really deal with how the Roman Catholic Church really has been a counterfeit and been off since the beginning of its beginning in 313 AD, but how that they incorporated the practices of Buddhism, the chanting, the repetitive prayer, visualization, and how that they incorporated that, and how there's a lot of charismatic and Pentecostal leaders who are beginning to embrace both the idolatry and the occult mysticism of the Roman Catholic Church. So it is rampant now in the prophetic movement. And the prayer with the charismatic prophetic movement, the charismatic prayer movements, it's all been infiltrated by this.
It really has, Pastor. And I've got to ask you this just for myself furthering on. As a watchman on the wall, it's not a calling that you really want, you know, because of the persecution and everything that comes with it. But when you're explaining something this big to the bride, it's hard to do without having to expose names, having to expose ministry, because you have to show what are they doing that is deceiving. You have to be, you know what I mean? Because I went to Bible college, Pastor. I went to Bible college, and they taught us you are not to mention other names. You are not to talk about other ministries. You see what I mean? But you cannot even research this without it all just popping up there, all the fields.
Well, let me say this about naming names. I mean, here's the fact that the Apostle Paul in his book, in his letters, you know, to Timothy and Titus and he named names. He said Hymenaeus and Philetus, and he named other ones. Demas has forsaken me. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him for his works. Even when Jesus was revealing the problem in the church of Thyatira, he said, you have that woman there, Jezebel, that calls herself a prophetess, and she's seducing my servants. So this whole idea that we don't name names of false teachers or false prophets or people, and again, I'm talking about even some Christians who may get deceived, it's not about trying to tear them down. It's about, hey, we have got, if they're getting off into dangerous areas and they're overthrowing people's faith or leading them into occult mysticism, it's time that we've got to name the name and call it for what it is. As long as we're telling the truth, that's all that matters.
Now, that's true, Pastor. I want to ask you something about polluting. Now, first, can you tell the bride where they can find that book and what is the name of the book, how they can find it?
The book's called The Polluted Church, From Rome to Kansas City. You can get the ebook. You know, you can. It comes in. We're published with Book Baby, so they have the ebook out there. If people want Kindle or, you know, whatever different ways, you know. But then if they want a paperback book, Book Baby will do print on demand, so you can order it through there. But you can go to our website, deanodal.org, and there's a page on there that can direct you how to order it. I'm trying to think. And then, of course, sometimes we have some copies that we send out to different people. But
I'm posting it on my page now for y'all to find out. It's where you can order it. Okay, I got that posted. Now, Pastor, I have been trying to tell the bride how God hates mixing. When you cannot read the Old Testament without understanding the Father's heart. And he hates mixing. He hates mixing idols. He hates mixing ideologies. He hates mixing foreign religions in with your own. Can you explain to the bride why it is so dangerous for these churches to be bringing worldly music in the church, worldly ideology, yoga, New Age, occult? Can you tell them why that is bad?
Well, you know, Paul said in Ephesians 4, and if I remember correctly, it was verse 27, he said, you know, do not give place to the devil. Don't give a foothold, any foothold, to the devil. So the moment that you compromise, the moment that you open the door, you're giving demons place. I mean, the Holy Spirit warned us, you know, through Paul that in 1 Timothy 4:1, he said, you know, that in the last days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So he's warned us that the devil's going to come. And then, of course, he's warned us that it would be just like it was in the days of Noah. And you know, we go back and we look at just some of the stuff going on in the book of Acts, the false prophet Elymas and the sorcerer Simon the sorcerer, who claimed to be a Christian. I mean, we have got to be careful, number one, who we allow in, who we allow to minister to us, and we definitely can't allow in any idolatry, because In First Corinthians, chapter 10, Paul says very clearly, he said, it's not the idol that's anything. But he said, when you bring an idol in or something from a foreign religion, he says, you're having fellowship with demons. And the word fellowship is the same Greek word used for the fellowship we're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit. It's an intimate spiritual connection. And so
yeah.
God doesn't want us having intimate spiritual connection with demons because of yoga or Buddhist type visualization or meditation or chanting repetitive phrases or sounds over and over again. He doesn't want that stuff, and because it opens us up to demons. And then, of course, when we get open to demons, then we're going to end up in all kinds of problems. I mean, whether it's leading us into destructive, sinful behavior, or tormenting our minds or making us sick or even premature death. I mean, when you start opening doors to demons, you're playing with very dangerous things. And,
yeah.
I mean, even the people, the practitioners of yoga, the gurus and everything, they admit that the purpose of yoga is to awaken what they call the kundalini force or power within a person's spine. Well, the word kundalini means serpent power. So they're telling you right up there with just a little investigation, you find out just yoga being practiced. And each one, yoga is sun god worship. And each position, each bow is a bow to the sun god. And so when people are doing that, whether it be in ignorance, they think they're doing it innocently, they are practicing the worship of the sun god. And again, which is the stated purpose of it, is to open you up to serpent power, the devil.
Yes. I've been trying to teach them, Pastor. Let me, because, you know, teaching them about the chakras and all that. Hey, listen, can you talk to them? Now, being that you have been doing this for all these years, can you explain to the bride, what is the ecumenical movement? What is the big picture? What is it that's happening here?
Well, it's real simple. It all, you know, the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. You know, back in that time period, they used to, all roads lead to Rome. The purpose of it, see, is there's going to be a beast system, a beast government system, the Antichrist system. So that's going to be
right.
A governmental system, and it's going to have one man come to rule it, 10 leaders under him. And then it talks about, in the book of Revelation, it talks about a religious system that will join the beast, the great whore or the mother of abominations, you know, mystery Babylon. And it is evident, and it's been evident for many centuries. All the reformers recognized it, and anybody that's paying attention to all the clues in the scripture, it's clear that the whore of Babylon or mystery Babylon, the great whore, is the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And she's the one that's going to ride the beast. Well, it says that she is the mother of harlots. So what she tries to do is she's trying to bring together now all the churches, different denominations of churches, both Protestant and Orthodox and everything, trying to bring all them together into this very watered-down religious amalgamation that will yield to the world government that's coming, the Antichrist, the new economic system, the mark of the beast. It's all about creating a religion that pretty much you can believe anything you want, except for you can't say Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who died on the cross for sin, rose from the dead, and he is the only way to salvation and the forgiveness of sins. That's the only thing that's not allowed. But you can be...
Yeah.
You can be Buddhist, you can be Hindu, you can be Muslim, you can be Christian, you can be whatever, as long as you accept that all paths lead to God, which is not true. But that's what it is, because they don't want, again, Satan's entire plan is to set up a world kingdom that eradicates Christianity.
That's exactly
what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And so to do that, he's got to create a substitute. And that's what he's doing. He's creating a substitute church or religion, and many people are falling for it.
But let me ask you this. Why are the churches not preaching this? Why are they not warning people? I mean, I just now found out about it, and I've been in this thing 30 years. I cannot believe I didn't know about it.
Well, think about this. I watched, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but, you know, let's go back, because, you know, you and I, we go back a little ways, all right? So you remember back in the, you know, the 80s and the 90s, early 90s, you know, TBN. And TBN would have on, you know, they would have on some good people back in those days. They would have some good preaching and some good teaching. Well, what happened was that they had this guy on that came on to expose the cults, and I can't remember now what his name was. I just watched a video the other day. This is going back to the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
And you could tell that I remember when Paul and Jan Crouch made the determination that they were no longer protesting, and they said that and they opened the doors to Roman Catholic priests to come and preach and teach on TBN. And really what it boiled down to is the mentality was, we don't want to offend anyone, and so if anyone names the name of Jesus, we're just going to accept them and let them come do their thing. And, you know, they just forgot to stick to the scriptures where Jesus said, you know, Jesus warned, Matthew 24, that
yeah.
in the last days that many would come in his name and deceive many. So just because somebody comes and says the name of Jesus, but it really boiled down to the churches pretty much did not want to offend anyone. The philosophy of ministry became, let's water it down, let's not do anything controversial, offensive, and let's just see how many people we can gather with this weak, watered-down, lukewarm, unoffensive Christianity. Massive churches doing it.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I have to say probably most of them are totally ignorant to Rome's agenda. And Rome's agenda since the Counter-Reformation began in the 1500s. I mean, they don't understand that the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits have been at war with the Protestant Church, the true Church of Jesus Christ, ever since. They declared war, and they have infiltrated Bible schools, seminaries, entire denominations, and they basically press people into this place you don't talk about. You know, Roman Catholics are just other Christians. You don't talk about that, and
right.
So the truth just doesn't get told. And I mean, I know pastors out there that know the truth, but and might admit it in private. But they know if they ever started preaching it or teaching it, they would lose half their congregation. So they don't do it.
Got you. Well, I just want to say, like, the Charisma magazine, you know, it's supposed to be the biggest Christian magazine in the country, having to do with the Pentecostal movement. They're right all up in this mess. I mean, I was looking at all the, you know, different ways that they can, how they, you know, reported on the Pope and the Ecumenical. They were so pro for it, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing goes all the way to the top. And like almost every big name preacher you can think of is in it.
Yep.
And it's like, what the world? I want to ask you about your book. Okay, you say in your book, The Polluted Church, from Kansas City all the way to Rome. Now, I know through my research, Pastor, something happened in Kansas City in 1977, I think, 73 or 77, where Rick Joyner was born, Bill Johnson, and Mike Bickle. So what happened? Why do you say this about Rome and that?
From Rome to Kansas City, because okay, here's what's happened, and I think it was I know that there was some stuff before in the probably in the late 70s, but it really Mike Bickle's ministry, the International House of Prayer, IHOP as some call it, it was Kansas City Fellowship, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that really kicked off in like 82, 83. And Bickle, I've done a lot of research on him, and I've done a lot of listening. I've been to the conferences. In fact, let me even back up. I went to a conference, a Charisma conference. I had a friend that worked at Charisma. And I went to a Charisma magazine conference in Orlando, Florida, in 1999, and it was the first time I heard Bickle speak in person. So, like I said, I've been around these guys. I've been to, you know, One Thing Conference. I've been to Rick Joyner's conferences. I went to one of his in 2001 and actually confronted him face-to-face about some things. And it goes back to a false prophet, probably the most powerful false prophet that's ever been in the prophetic movement, in the charismatic movement. His name was Bob Jones.
And I heard about Bob him.
Yeah, Bob Jones joined up with Bickle and convinced Bickle that he was a true prophet, and it got wacky from there. And, I mean, everything from all kinds of false prophecies. But now every now and then they would prophesy something and it would happen. But they got into, you know, you can – Bob Jones used to teach you can travel outside your body at will. Your spirit can leave your body, basically astral projection. They called it visiting the third heaven. And I mean, there was just all kinds of kooky, crazy stuff that went on. And, but what I found out, I went back and I started finding out that Bickle actually was discipled as a teenager by a Roman Catholic priest. So it's always been down in him. He's had this place for the idolatry and the errors of Rome. He's never really rejected it. And so, as you see, and that's what I get into in the book, I document from his own book, from his own website, how that he encourages the IHOP, you know, these kids that don't know any better, come to IHOP, and he begins to teach them contemplative mysticism. And what I mean by that, he teaches them the Lecto Divina and the stuff from the from Ignatius Loyola, and that when the Jesuits began, they had an occult spiritual practices where they would visualize things, guided visualization. They would chant repetitive phrases. Remember, Jesus said, don't pray as the heathen do, you know, with the repetitive phrases and things. And so he teaches these kids these things. And then in his bookstore and in his messages, he encourages these young people to read books from Teresa, you know, the Roman Catholic mystic Teresa of Avila, St. Bernard of Clairvaux. He's just got all these different Catholic, you know, books and teachers, and they're teaching this mysticism. And so what they're doing is they're mixing this Roman Catholic, Buddhist, Hindu type of meditation and chanting and repetitive prayers and visualization. They're mixing all that together with Christianity,
and they are.
And it's become a mess. And now it's progressed.
Let me tell you, Pastor, if you don't mind me interrupting just a moment.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I've been doing research on Mike Bickle, and I've been taking people through his website because when I was in grad school, I taught web design to the bachelor level when I taught classes. So I taught them how to critique websites. And I was telling the bride, I'm going to take you with me on the journey, and I'm going to teach you how to know about logos and how to tell shapes and what they're saying. And, you know, so I've been kind of teaching the bride about this. Well, when I went through his website, one of the things that was a huge clue that he is very, very Catholic is on his creed page. He has a page that has all the creeds that he believes and his ministry believes, and every one of them are given loyalty to the Catholic Church. And I'm like, what is this on a Pentecostal church's website? One of them's called the Nicene Creed, and he's got all these other creeds, you know, and obviously he's under a lot of heat over being involved in the ecumenical movement, because his first question on his Q&A page is, why are you involved with this ecumenical movement? And he tries to, you know, water it down and everything. But I know there is some type of connection there, something that happened back then, because like Rick Joyner, you know, he's the birthing of the New Apostolic Reformation, him with, Wagner.
Peter Wagner.
Yeah.
He passed away.
Some connection back there in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Well, they, Kansas City was a hub for the prophetic movement in the 80s, and then it kind of branched off, and Joyner went did his thing over in South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever he is over there. And but the thing about it now, like I document in this book, I document where Rick Joyner flat out, first of all, he praises Pope. When Pope John Paul II died, he praised the Pope as the most anointed, spirit-filled, great Christian leader of all time. And I'm sitting here going, the Pope John Paul II changed the catechism of the Roman Catholic Church with Benedict, with Ratzinger. They changed the catechism to say that Muslims were saved whether they ever accepted Jesus or not. And then when Pope John Paul II, when he was shot and survived, he gave all the praise and credit to Mary, not to to God Almighty, not to Jesus, but to Mary for saving him. There's multiple pictures of John Paul II trying to bring all religions together in prayer meetings. We'd have Hindus and Buddhists. And I mean, John Paul II was not a Christian leader. He was a complete world religion, ecumenical, bring everything together. And for Rick Joyner to say that John Paul II was one of the greatest Christian leaders of all time, the moment I saw that, and it's still on his website, the moment I saw that, I said, this man is a Jesuit. This man is a plant. And I firmly believe he is. I know I'm going to tick off a lot of Pentecostals and Charismatics because a lot of them worship him and think he's a prophet.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I've been researching it.
Yeah. And a plus, on top of that, he is in this group called the Knights of Malta.
Oh, well, I know.
He claims... Now,
he tries to deny that has anything to do with the Masons.
What he denies, of course, the Knights of Malta is an arm of the Roman Catholic Church. He denies that this order is. But the Grand Master of this secret society called the Knights of Malta, his name is Nicholas Papa Nikolai or whatever. He's one of the board members of his Oak Initiative. This guy, plainly, I've got him on video. He's sitting there. He's got the apostolic blessing, and he's talking about the apostolic blessing that they have from Pope Benedict at the time over their order. And this guy is such a big wig that he's got a forum, a world public forum, that has all these world leaders come to and religious leaders. They all come to his big meeting in Rhodes every year. And the guy that's his right-hand man, well, used to be the UN ambassador for the Soviet Union. And these guys, I'm telling you, these guys are all UN, Roman Catholic, and this is Rick Joyner's that he runs with. And this is what he's pushing. So it kind of filters down. I mean, and I knew I'm not hiding anything. I mean, I really do believe Joyner is a Jesuit. Bickle may be ignorant of how deep Rome is into all this. I don't know, but they're still doing it. Him. When you look at Rick Joyner, you look at Mike Bickle, you look at Kenneth Copeland now has joined in with this. With Rome.
Yes. He is completely flipped, Kenneth Copeland. Completely.
Yeah.
It's sad.
And see, here's the big problem. People say, well, why are you so down on, you know, maybe somebody's listening or watching. They're like, why are you so down on Roman Catholicism? Listen, it's not the people. You know, I know there's good people that love God, that are trying their best, and they're deceived by the machine, by the institution. But the institution, you can't ignore that it is full of idolatry. And I mean, the prayers to Mary, the statues to Mary, they bow to the statues, they kiss the statues, Mary and the saints they pray to. All of this is clear idolatry. And so what 1 Corinthians, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said, if anyone among you calls themselves a brother, they say, I'm a Christian, yet they are an idolater, is, he says, with such an one, know not to eat. We're not to be fellowshipping with them. We're to be pointing out the idolatry and hopefully calling them out of it, which is exactly what Jesus does when you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, after he goes through all the stuff about Mystery Babylon. He says, come out of her, my people.
Right.
And so it's right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing a lot of Roman Catholics come out and truly getting saved and getting born again and seeing the idolatry and the demonic aspects of it, and they're coming out of it. And so, you know, what Jesus spoke is happening. I mean, there are many coming out.
Right.
It's amazing that, but there's a lot of Protestants going in, you know. It's unreal.
Yes, now I've got one more question before people start calling in, okay? The emergent church, the church that is so demonic, they are teaching people hell is not real, blurring the lines of sin, just terrible. How does that all play together? That, the New Apostolic Reformation, and the ecumenical movement. How is all this?
Well, they're different groups. I mean, okay, let's take your emergent church people are people that are just very almost Gnostic in their beliefs, in the sense, like you said, they don't. A lot of them don't believe in a literal hell. They don't believe in, you know, that you need true repentance over sin. It's more
right.
about doing good deeds, social justice. The gospel has
yeah.
become more of – Christianity is more about trying to do good deeds or whatever instead of standing for truth, that Jesus is the only way. And, of course, they're accepting of homosexuality.
Yes, very inclusive.
And so what you get with the emergent church is – and they're very – of course, they're very accepting of Roman Catholic practices. And, again, they're very much into the – what's called the contemplative mysticism that I talked about earlier. So
yes.
they have that in common, and they're very open to Roman Catholicism, Orthodox practices, you know, praying in front of icons and statues and labyrinths and meditation and chanting. And I mean, so they're very similar in that regard. I would say that the other that you're talking about, like the New Apostolic Reformation, the people that see Peter Wagner and Joyner and some of these other charismatic ministries are in, they would never say we will go that far, but yet what ties them all together is that their acceptance of the Roman Catholic Church as a true Christian church and the blind eye that they turn to all the Roman Catholic idolatry and mysticism and errors and just kind of embrace it. So they're a little different, but yet they have those things in common.
Right. I have a caller on the line that may have a question. Would you mind taking some calls?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, listen, if any of you watching live on Facebook, we have a huge audience tonight. You can call in 929-477-1994. And you can ask him a question. Okay, let's see who this is. Hey, I see you're from area code 334. Do you have a question for our guest tonight?
No, just listening in. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, Brad, if y'all have any questions, you're welcome to call in. Now, I would like to ask you something while we're waiting on people to call in. Is the Pope's missiology document that he has, that 670-page document for missions, he is literally wanting to form this millions man army to go out and evangelize the earth, and he's pulling all these religions together to do missions. And I'm like, what? I mean, you wouldn't think that he would be looking for revival like we are. Do you see what I mean?
You're right. Right.
Do you know anything about that?
I haven't read the document or anything, and but again, it is still part of this entire create. You know, and Pope Francis took this whole thing to a new level. I mean, Benedict would say, and I remember it being in the newspaper one time, that there is no salvation outside the church. But Francis is out there saying you can be an atheist and still go to heaven if you do good works. You can, you know, homosexuals. He said, who am I to judge? He's defended Muslim jihadists. I mean, this guy is out there. I mean, this guy's gone so far to say, you know, he would baptize aliens. I mean, he's that far out there. So for him to say we're going to try to get everybody and make them evangelists for this, again, this, you know, this conglomeration, this new world religion, it's not shocking. You know,
right.
It's, you know, the Bible's always told us, Bible prophecies always told us that this is the direction it would go, that the end time is going to be the worship of the beast or the system, the false Messiah. And so
Pastor, I never would have thought it would have been in the name of Jesus.
Right.
I am shocked that the Pope is now accepting all this. You can speak in tongues, you know, everybody come in. And it's like, oh my gosh, you would have never thought he'd have done it like this. Okay, we've got a couple of callers on the line. Hello from area code 863. Can you tell us your first name?
Hello?
Area 863.
Katrina.
Hey, Miss Katrina, do you have a question for Dr. King?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I was wanting to know, how would I go about to talk to our pastor about the economical movement? Because he's, like, not aware of it, but he's very aware of end-time prophecies. I mean, like, really good on that, but why wouldn't he know about this? Is there a reason?
Well, what I would ask him, you know, and because people who are into end-time Bible prophecy, there's so many different beliefs and there's so many different interpretations of things. What I would ask him is, first, just ask the question, you know, Pastor, what do you believe about the Great Whore Mystery Babylon? Who do you think that is?
Mm-hmm.
And get his answer. If he says he believes and knows it to be the Roman Catholic Church, then you could go the next step and go, well, have you been aware of how they're trying to build this you know, this new one world religion? And just ask that question. Now, if he says something like the United States is Mystery Babylon or Saudi Arabia, then he's got some ideas, you know, that, again, I don't agree with, and I don't believe the Bible spells out at all about Mystery Babylon. So you would be, it'd be hard to go there with him. You could ask him if he knows or about how they're, you know, the Pope and the UN and these other groups, World Council of Churches. You could ask him if he's aware of how they're trying to bring together all religions into a common, you know, monsters, beasts, and see what he says. You know, as long as you approach, you know, approaching gently and just being inquisitive, try to see where he is. You know, don't go like, "Hey, Pastor, why don't you know about this going on?"
Yeah,
because he's not gonna
listen that way. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I got you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Bye bye.
Okay, Pastor, we got somebody else on the line. This is area code 985. Good evening. Do you have a question for Dr. Dean?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Hey, how you doing, Pastor? I have a question. I was wondering about the new Calvary Chapel churches that are popping up everywhere. Are they part of the New Age movement?
Now, I'm going to have to be very, very honest. I don't know very much about Calvary Chapel churches because I've never been in one, I've never been around them, and I've never really researched them. So I've heard of them for years, but I don't even know if we have any here in the South. I've never come across one. But, again, what they were 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, they might not be today. I just don't know at all. It's probably something I need to look into. But I've heard good things. And I've heard bad things. But, again, people could say that about me, too. I've heard good things. I've heard bad things. So, I can't speak about them because I know nothing really about them.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Let me ask this, Pastor. The Calvary Chapel, is that the one that had that famous hippie preacher?
Was it Lonnie Frisbee? Is he the one that started them?
Yes, sir. Started in California.
Yeah, okay. Again, I think you got to remember back in the 60s and the 70s, there was the Jesus movement happening, then there was the charismatic movement happening.
Right.
And there was a lot of good happening. People were getting saved and people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and the gifts were opera. But then there was a lot of still New Age and witchcraft stuff creeping in with some of those people who were coming in. So again, I know a little bit about Lonnie Frisbee, and again, there was, you hear good, you hear bad. That's one group I haven't really looked into enough to say, definitely one way or the other.
Yes, sir. I know they're pretty big in Birmingham. So you might want to take a look at it.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you.
It stirred me. I don't know. I guess it's just a group that hadn't really been on my radar that much. So I'll definitely look in. I didn't even know they had a church in Birmingham. So I'm learning something right now.
Church of the Highlands. Yeah, it's Church of the Highlands. It's pretty big. It's
wait a minute. Now, Church of the Highlands is Calvary Chapel?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I know I'm familiar with Church of the Highlands. I just didn't know they were. I didn't know they were Calvary Chapel Church. Huh. Okay.
Yes, sir. They're affiliated with Church of King down here in Louisiana, and affiliated with New Horizon, a few other ones that they're affiliated with.
Now, I do know again that I am deeply disturbed by some stuff that's come out of Church of the Highlands, particularly a very flippant attitude about the mark of the beast, which has bothered me.
Yes, sir.
And so that just, interesting. Okay. Well, I knew about their, what was the church in the Louisiana? It was Bethany. Didn't they come out of, what is that church down there? Bethany something.
In Baton Rouge.
Yeah, down there in Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
But I know that the pastor, Chris Hodges, I know that he was with the guy out in Colorado, New Life Christian, whatever, Ted Haggard. I know that he was with him.
Yep.
He was his youth pastor and all that stuff. So I'm a little familiar with the background of that, but Calvary Chapel never came into that picture. So, I'll definitely look into that.
Well, if you find anything out, would you post it back to June? She knows me,
okay.
And I'm actually on her prayer team, and I had some run-ins with these people, and I very disturbed by some of the things that come out of the churches, and I'm just doing some research, and trying to figure out, too.
And you're located where? Are you?
I'm located in Slidell, Louisiana.
Okay. I got you. All right, yeah. I mean, I tell you what, that particular church has taken over Alabama.
Yes, sir. They're getting huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're dealing with it here best we can.
I understand. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bless you, brother.
Bless you, too.
All right, Pastor, I'm going to ask you something before we pray and get off here. I would like for you to talk to America for a minute about the ecumenical movement, and what type of advice would you give them right now about what we can do? I mean, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us right now about this?
Well, I mean, it's really simple, and that is the thing that tears the whole ecumenical thing, you know, deception apart, is when you say Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only way to heaven. He's the only way of forgiveness of sins. He's the only true God. He's the only Messiah. He's the only Savior. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And there's a deception here. We're headed into the last days. And the backslidden apostate church is going to go with Rome and the world system, and they're going to accept sin. The true church is going to say, no, sin is still sin. And we must confess sin and repent, turn away from it, whether it be fornication or adultery or homosexuality or drugs or drunkenness or murder or abortion or whatever. We're going to call it sin is sin. And if you practice these sins, you're lost. But if you come to Jesus and confess them and forsake them, you receive forgiveness and salvation. And it really is. I know that sounds simple, but where these churches are going, these ecumenical churches and this whole movement, we don't call sin sin. We don't talk about a real hell. And we don't say Jesus is the only way. So we combat them with truth, and I mean, just bold truth. That's the thing about it. I believe we shouldn't tiptoe around and try to beat around the bush. We just need to tell it like it is. Right.
Amen. But, Pastor, I've got to ask you, how can they come up with such good music? That has been my most grievingest thing about it, is that I loved their music. Like, I would, because I call myself, my ministry is We Are the Bride Ministries. It has nothing to do with them and their revelation of the bride. That is just the revelation the Lord gave me in Bible college. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. So because of that, you know, I'm very intimate with the Lord. Like, my worship is very passionate. And I love their music. And that's been the most grievous thing. It's like, how can that come out?
Because I believe there's certain gifts that God gives people even before they're born. I mean, just he gives them abilities, and they can choose to use them for God or not, or they can choose to use them and then end up in, you know, in error and deception. But someone has a gift to sing or a gift to play an instrument or a gift to write music. That gift is just, again, it's there, and you know, I believe there's a lot of secular artists that their gift was from the Lord, but then they took it and used it for the world.
That's true.
But yeah, I understand. Look, we've had to, you know, I'll be honest. Like, for instance, Hillsong's. Hillsong's has some great songs, some great lyrics, some great music. But once I heard Brian Houston talking about Christians and Muslims worship the same God, once I found out he covered up for his pedophile father for years.
Once I found out
that it's a sham, and then he lets that nonsense go on with the Hillsongs in New York and all this crazy nonsense that he should shut down. I banned Hillsong music from our church. No Hillsong.
I do too. I don't listen to it no more.
You know, and it's not that their music, you know, again, they have talented musicians, and I'm sure they have singers and musicians and songwriters that love Jesus and maybe are just young in the Lord. They don't know all this stuff that's going on behind the scenes. But, you know, it is what it is. And it's sad, but, it, you know, it's out there.
It is really sad. Well, I just want to say, sir, if you can find time to come back again, we would love to ask you more questions. I mean, 1 hour with someone of your stature and knowledge of all this is hard to answer in just 1 hour.
Well, so, we'll definitely do it again sometime, for sure.
Okay. Well, sir, I would love it if you would let the bride pray for you. We pray for all of our guests on our broadcast.
Yes, please.
Pray for you. Lord, look, bride, all of you that's watching live, let's bow our heads and come together in agreement for Dr. Dean, okay? Lord, we just come together in agreement, your bride across the world, for Dr. Dean. Lord, thank you so much that you opened his eyes, Lord, at such a young age, and that he was able to take that and to be able to learn and to see and to gather information and to put it into books. Lord, I cannot imagine the path that man has been on. I can't imagine the persecution he's been through. I cannot imagine the rejection that he has been through based upon just my 2 or 3 months of this and all the people leaving me and everything. I just can't imagine him living like this for, you know, all these years. Lord, bless him. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over him and his family. Lord, we ask that you send angels from heaven to encamp about him to help him in all that he does, Lord. Open up the doors wide, Lord, for him to write more books, to get it out there for us to learn and to know, Lord. Open up avenues with TV and radio and different places for him to get the message out there, Lord. And I pray, Lord, while we're on this subject, give us truth media. Media will get this truth out there, Lord. And, Lord, we pray health in his body, health in his family, Lord. And, Lord, we pray, too, partnering with heaven for his mission. Lord, you wrote his book before time began, and you said you want his story to do this and this. We're in partnership with that tonight, your bride. And Lord, we call it down, Lord, all the tools, strategies he's going to need to finish this mission, the time that he has left, grant it unto him, Lord, buildings, intercessors, money, the tools, the equipment, and everything, Lord, grant it unto him. Thank you, Lord, for him being with us tonight, Lord. And bless him in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, brother, before
amen.
We get off, do you mind praying for our ministry and for the bride out there, please?
Yes. Father, I agree with my sister. I ask you to bless, Lord, your people. God, that you would just lead us and guide us into all truth, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to understand. Lord, bless my sister June. Lord, just bless her and her ministry, Lord, and increase it. I thank you that she clearly has discernment of what's going on in this world and what's going on in the church world. And, Lord, I ask you to bless her, anoint her, and continue to increase and expand her influence and her message of truth to both the bride of Christ and both, Lord, to the unsaved. Lord, we ask you to move and empower and let, Lord, confirm your word with healing, with miracles, with signs and wonders, and the provision she needs to expand and to reach more people. And we pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor. Well, thank you for answering questions and being on with us tonight, and you have a good evening, sir.
You too. God bless. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.